As the rest of our time here in the last few weeks of Ephesians, if it doesn't apply directly to us, it certainly applies in terms of how to pray and perhaps to give some input into people's lives, right? And so there is relevance for everybody here. Jonathan Previtt, 6 years old, little guy, and he was on CNN News. He was on the Today Show, NBC News, and question is, why was he receiving so much attention? Well, according to him, quote unquote, "I kissed a six-year-old girl." He kissed a little six-year-old girl, and he is believed to be the youngest person in the country's history to have sexual harassment charges leveled against him. Indeed, he was sent home from school because, as the school said, a six-year-old kissing another six-year-old is inappropriate behavior. Unwelcome is unwelcome at any age. End of quote. And as Jonathan's mother said, it's kind of hard to take it seriously since she said it was okay for him to kiss her. And she added, "No wonder we have so many people with behavioral problems. You're not sure if you're even allowed to hug somebody anymore." And to me, the whole story illustrates the fact that, boy, we really, in our culture, don't understand what kids and young people are and are not to do. What is the role of children and youth in a family? What are the roles of young people so that we have harmonious homes? In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we see the very simple but important instructions for children and young people in the family. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Ephesians 6, 1. As in all the other roles, the husband and the wife, and now the kids, and next week the parents, and so forth, employers and employees, it really helps to A, be saved, B, spirit-filled, so that C, we have the power and the desire to fulfill God's role in our lives. Let's look at the kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The proper action for young people is obedience. That is the action. The word to obey is a compound word in the Greek. It has the idea of to hear and under. And that's what obedience is. It's to place ourselves underneath the authority of what we hear. To under and to hear. It is to do what we hear. And therefore, the implication is we understand what we've heard so that we can do what we've heard. That's what obedience is. And that's really important when you're talking about particularly little ones. I remember the time our son Dan was only 5.5 years old, and I was outside in the backyard, and all of a sudden I hear this bang. And I wasn't exactly sure where it came from. And I heard the second loud bang. And I looked and I said, "Oh, that's coming from the garage." We had a detached garage from the house. And then I heard a third, bang, and then splatter. I said, "Oh, that does not sound good." So I went into the garage, and there Dan was, all kinds of glass all around him, with a bat in his hand. I said, "Dan, what did you do?" He said, "I broke the garage door with a bat. The window, I'm sorry." And I said, why did you do that? He said, "I wanted to see how many times it would take before I could break it." Answer, 3. And as I thought about it, we talked about it a little bit again, he did not get disciplined for that because I had never explained to him what window etiquette was. And it's nice to know that they know. Otherwise, you can't expect them to obey what they don't get. Now, sometimes they get things when they're 1.5 years, right? And it's okay to discipline them when they're 1.5 years. You can tell by the look in their eyes. They know exactly what's going on. But in this case, this was an odd situation, and it's okay. There's not a lack of obedience here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord, the implication is that both the parents and the children know the Lord. They are in the Lord, in that sphere of that relationship. And so it's one thing for unsaved kid to disobey unsaved parents. It's another thing when you've got saved kids disobeying saved parents. It's kind of a worse scenario. Because it's in the Lord, and there's greater natural affection. And there's a desire, hopefully, on the child's part to not only please the parent, but also to please the Lord, because they are in the Lord. And so the idea here is that, okay, they are who they are. The parents know the Lord. They know the Lord. And so there should be a greater motivation, a greater impetus for obedience. Because we not only have, let's say, a dad and a son, we have a older brother in the Lord and a younger brother in the Lord at the same time. Well, what are some reasons for obedience? Our text gives us one. For this is right. How about that? The word right means just or proper. It's just the right thing to do. It's kind of common sense. In a sense, you really don't even need to know Jesus to know that it's right for the little guy or the little girl to listen to mom and to listen to dad. It's just the right thing to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, they've disciplined him, he still will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. The idea here is the disobedience to mom and dad has spilled out into other areas of life. There are character flaws. Character flaw not to obey mom and dad has led to other character flaws. Not discipline in eating and drinking, not discipline in listening to mom and dad. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, the word evil in the Hebrew has the idea of something that's vile or wicked. To not obey mom or dad is evil in the Lord's eyes. It's not right. It's downright evil. It's wicked. And it leads to other character flaws such as gluttony and being a drunkard. If you can't obey or discipline yourself to listen to mom or dad, that lack of discipline will manifest itself in other character flaws, is what he's saying. And it was so wrong in God's eyes that in the old covenant, they were to be stoned to death, lest they spread that evil and wickedness beyond the family. Wow. It's just the right thing to do, and it's really the wrong thing to do to not obey. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, listen to your father who begot you. Listen has the idea of to obey, right? We said to hear and under. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise or hate your mother when she is old. We'll come back to that verse a little bit later. Listen to your father who begot you. Another reason for obedience, you want to show gratitude to those who brought you into the world. If it wasn't for mom and dad, you wouldn't be here. So listen to them. I mean, you are indebted from a human standpoint to them for even your very, very life. And so we have a couple of reasons in scriptures to obey your parents. One, it's just right as opposed to wrong or evil in God's eyes. And number two, gee, they brought you into the world. There should be thankfulness and gratitude and a sense of indebtedness to listen to what they say. Now, the question that comes up a lot of times is, well, for how long? How long do I have to listen to an old mom and old dad? It seems like the age that keeps coming up that I've been hearing for a number of years. Now that I'm 18, I don't have to listen to mom, or I don't have to listen to dad. Let's just suppose that's true, okay? You don't have to listen to them anymore. You can do whatever you want. Okay, so let's suppose that's accurate for just a moment. It is statistically proven, and it's easy to prove, that the dangerous years in a person's life, 18 to 29, there's no question about it. That is the era in our lives where we make the mistakes that we regret for a long time. I have called it the era of regret. The era of regret. If there's going to be one time in our lives where we look back with a sense of wisdom and we say, oh, that was not the best choice, it'll be when we were 18 to 29. The era of regret. We tend to choose the wrong schools to go to. We tend to choose the wrong majors. We tend to date the wrong people. We tend to get married to the wrong people. We tend to buy cars and trucks that we shouldn't because of the indebtedness that it piles on us. We tend to buy the wrong houses that we shouldn't because we can't really afford them. We tend to do things to our bodies that we shouldn't do. We tend to look back and regret the things that we do between the ages of 18 and 29. Amen? Amen. It's the era of regret. So let's suppose that you can do whatever you want to do when you're 18. It doesn't make a lot of sense to just not listen to mom and dad after that. Because if you don't listen to their input and their wisdom, you highly likely will regret it. It's the era of regret. So, the proper action is obedience. Not really that tricky, but sometimes hard to do, right? Because we tend to want to do what we want to do. The second role is the proper attitude. Of course, that is to honor. It's capable, a person is capable of listening to mom and dad, but not honoring them. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The word honor has the idea to value somebody, to respect them. Value them and respect them, and may that be manifested in your attitude towards them. And the idea is no smart aleck attitude, no know-it-all attitude, no your dumb attitude. None of those kinds of things are appropriate. And so the attitude towards God matters a whole lot too. Value them highly, respect them. Why? Well, from our text, we've got at least one reason here. It's the first commandment with a promise. If we go through the Ten Commandments, right? Don't have any gods before me, no promise, just don't do it. Don't make any graven images of me, no promise, just don't do it. Don't take my name in vain, don't you dare take my name in vain, no promises, just do it. Keep the Sabbath holy, set apart a day where you worship me, no promise, just do it. Fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you, so that you may live long in the Old Testament, in the land, in the New Testament, on the earth. And so it's the first commandment with promise. It's also the only commandment of the Big Ten that deals with the family directly. And so we know it's important. And God says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth, verse 3. The first reason that a young person or a child should honor their parents is that you will prosper. You will prosper. It will be well with you. It will be good for you. God will bless you. It's not that you won't have any trials, but overall, the face of God will shine upon you. In Luke chapter 2, we see that the perfect Son of God had this attitude towards his parents and also the action of obedience. We just have the story. You'll remember Jesus is 12. They find him in the temple. And verse 51, after that incident, Luke 2:51, and he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and men. He was subject to them. I'm sure he had a perfect attitude towards them. And he was blessed in three ways. He increased in wisdom. That is, God the Father blessed him spiritually. He increased in stature. That is, God the Father blessed him physically. And he increased in favor with God and men. He was blessed relationally or socially with his relationship with God the Father and with people. And so Jesus was blessed in every way because he honored his father and mother. He prospered. And that's a pretty good reason. I mean, what's the number one thing you like to have God like to have in your life, Joe? The number one thing I like to have is God's face to shine on me. I want him to bless me in any way he wants. It will be well with you. You will prosper, the text says. And secondly, you will live long on the earth. God will likely prolong your life. You unlikely will die young. He will bless you with length of days, long life, in the words of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. To curse your father or your mother is disrespectful. Anybody disagree with that? It's disrespectful. And therefore, it doesn't honor them, and your lamp will be put out in deep darkness. That is your life. In Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Okay, so that's also language of not honoring your father or your mother, cursing them, not blessing them. Then if we drop down to verse 17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. The eye that mocks his father. So our lips don't have to just mock our father. It just has to have the look in the eye. The disrespectful look in the eye is enough if it's continually done to lead towards an early death. The ravens of the valley will pick it, that is his eye, out, and the young eagles will eat his eyeball. Kind of gross, but that's exactly what it says. And so one of the blessings, one of the reasons to honor your parents, and by the way, if we look at scriptures, that just continues on. It's something, obedience isn't forever, but honor is as long as they're alive, as we'll see in a moment. You will prolong your life. Well, what happens with somebody like Jesus? He didn't have a long life. He obeyed his parents. He honored his parents perfectly. What about our own Dave Plaster here? His mom, who's not able to be with us, when she describes her older brother, she says he was, quote-unquote, the perfect child. Dave passed away in his early 60s, wonderful seminary professor, wonderful pastor, wonderful man of God. How do you explain those kinds of things? Well, the idea, I think, is that unless God has a special plan for your life, you will prolong your life. Sometimes God has a special plan for a person's life. They honor their father and mother. They obey them. They love the Lord. And God, in order to maximize his glory, for reasons hidden in his omniscience, takes the person's life. So unless God has a special plan for your life, the rule of thumb is you will live a long life if you honor your father and mother. Pretty cool. Pretty good. You will prosper spiritually, physically, relationally. You will prolong your life. And we do want to go over a third reason you want to honor your parents. You will please your parents. That sounds right, doesn't it? Proverbs chapter 23. We'll start in verse 22, which we read earlier. Listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise or hate your mother when she is old. Despising your mother when she is old is to dishonor her when she's old. So don't do that. You're supposed to honor them as long as they're alive. Buy the truth, do not sell it, wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets a son, a wise child, will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you, your mother, rejoice. This may be hard to believe, but parents enjoy it when their kids honor them. Yeah, they enjoy it. They're pleased to be treated with respect and value. Proverbs chapter 19. I know it's not in your outline, but well, we're just going to add it anyhow. Verse 26 of Proverbs 19. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother, chases her away, is a son who causes shame and brings reproach or embarrassment. Chases his mother away for no good reason, just kind of get away, mom. I don't need you. I don't want you. Is to dishonor them unless we need the separation. Sometimes parents can be pretty bad, and we need the separation for our own mental sanity. Okay. I've counseled two people over the years to stay away from their parents. And it's worked both times because they were just so bad. And there was no way the adult kids could continue that relationship and be sane. So, unless you have an unusual situation again, you don't want to chase away your mom, you don't want to chase away your dad. Won't be pleasing to your parents. And so there are reasons to honor your parents. You'll prosper every way imaginable. You'll prolong your life. You'll please your parents. And how about you will please the Lord? Does that sound right too? Yeah. It's almost an insult. Some of these things are so basic, but boy, it doesn't always happen, does it? Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord says, this is the way I set things up. I set things up in such a way that they should be obeyed, they shall be honored. And kids have an important role in youth. Kids in youth... and even people into their 20s have an important role in the harmony of a home. All you need is one bad apple that's upsetting the cart and the whole family is upset, right? takes one. And so there's an important role for children, for youth, for young people in the family. And I know sometimes it takes the Spirit of God's grace and empowerment to fulfill that role. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord God, for a lot of young people that we have had and do have in the church. And we really are blessed much more than most families nowadays. And most of our families are pretty well blessed too, Father. And so we ask that we continue. We pray, Lord God, help young people, particularly as they enter the era of regret. Help them to not cast off their parents' input. Help them to consider it and to listen to it. And to not have deep wounds and the sorrow and the suffering that goes along with making big choices. So, Lord, we're grateful. But we're not perfect. Thank you, Lord, for these promises. Thank you for loving us despite our imperfections, and help us to love in our families despite the mutual imperfections that go in both directions. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.